Of course, this would be the day that it looks like our air conditioner is not working up to 100%. So it was, yes. It was on Friday. It was really nice in here. So we'll pray about that in Jesus' name. This works. Cools down. Well, we've looked the last couple of weeks. We've been looking, and we're going to get to that in just a second. We've been looking at the armor of God, and I've enjoyed going through those verses. And I know it's taken us a lot of time to go through those verses, but I love those verses, and I hope you're enjoying it as well. Before we get started, though, Annie, can you come up here? Annie has a birthday coming up on, is it Friday? Friday. How old are you, Annie? 9 years old. I just want you to see this face as we pray for this face and for this life. Does anybody else have any birthdays or anniversaries this week? You get all of the prayers, just on you. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for Annie. I thank you for the joy that she is in you. I thank you for the joy that she brings, your joy, everywhere that she goes. I thank you that as she is closing out 1 year and heading into that next year, we speak with her family and all who love her, we speak that every good thing you have for her, every joy, every peace, we speak health, we speak excitement. I thank you that she just grows closer to you. She sees you in ways she has never seen you before. You reveal yourself in ways that she's never seen before. We speak every good thing unto Annie. In your name, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Happy birthday, Annie. Annie has glitter, so I'll be glittering all the rest of today. So, I know you guys should have this memorized by now. This will be our fifth week at looking at these verses. Anybody want to read them? Faith comes by hearing. You want to read them? Who said yeah? Want to read them, Dan? So Dan's going to read for us Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. And you can see it up here too. Ephesians 6. You can just read it from what you have. They'll be able to figure it out. That's what we got. Whatever you have is good. It's all the Word. Please. Amen.
Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Amen.
For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able
Jesus.
To withstand in the evil day.
Amen.
Stand therefore, having girt your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Amen. Thank you, Dan. You know, there is something about hearing the Word of God. That's why I always love, I get the chance to speak it, but you know, I've said to you guys before, faith comes by hearing. When you read the Word of God in your own time, in your own private time, read it out loud, because it stirs your own faith. It builds it up inside of you. So last week, I'm not going to do a lot of review, but I do want to hit on a few things from last week so we can build upon those. So last week, we learned that we can actually put on, we learned how to actually put on the whole armor of God. Earlier in Paul's letter to the Ephesians in chapter 4, we saw Paul say put on. But in chapter 4, he said put on the nature of Christ that is in you. So we're to put on the nature of Christ that is in us, and we're to take off the nature of the flesh. When we choose to put on the nature of Christ that is in us, we're also putting on the armor of God. That is our daily choice that we have to make. We also noted last week that Paul said to both put on and take up the whole armor of God. We put on the armor of God. That means we are clothed in the very garment of Jesus Christ. It's being one with Jesus. In being one, we sink into the very garment of his salvation. That's who we are. And we also saw that we are to take up the armor of God. We take up the armor. That means that we operate in His victorious power. His victorious power. It's already done. We operate in that victorious power. We saw the Greek word that we read as take up. We saw that that word is most commonly used in the Bible in reference to Jesus being taken up or ascended in power, in complete victory. So we are one in Christ. And as one in Christ, we are to operate in His complete victory. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul instructs us to put on and to take up the whole armor of God. But if you remember last week at the very end, we saw there's another place in the Bible where we do see that God instructs. God gives instructions to put on garments or implements. And we see He does that as He speaks to Moses. And He tells Moses about the garments that the priests are to wear. So for you and I, the implements of the priestly garments and the implements of the armor of God, those are both vitally important to you and I today as believers in Jesus Christ. Why? Because we are a royal priesthood in Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at those priestly garments, and then we're going to just touch on this part, and we'll finish this off next week. We're going to look at the priestly garments, and then we're going to look at the armor of God. We're going to see those implements. Here's what the verse says. This is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You are royalty. You're a priest. You've got the priesthood, and you also have that royalty, that authority that comes with kingship. You are a royal priesthood in Jesus Christ. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that's you, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of the darkness and into the marvelous light. We saw last week that kings, they have the physical authority of God, kings in the Bible. And we saw that the priests of the Bible, they have the spiritual authority of God. You and I, as a royal priesthood in Jesus, we have authority in both realms. And since we have authority in both realms, it behooves us to understand all of the implements of the priestly garments as well as all of the implements of the armor of God. So let's start by looking at the priestly elements. This is what it says. We saw this last week, Exodus chapter 28. This is verse number 4. These are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a skillfully woven tunic, a turban, and a sash. Six things we're going to look at. So they shall make a holy garment for Aaron, your brother, and his sons, that he may minister to me as a priest. Remember that, because that's going to be really important towards the end. We're to minister to him as a priest. So I want to show you this picture. Tony, if you can bring us this. I want you to see this, and I'm going to bring this up again so you can see this several times. This is the depiction of a priest. This is the garments that the priests would wear according to all those things we just read. So we're going to look at all these things. So we see that this is the breastplate, this is the ephod, this is the robe, this is the tunic he talks about, turban, and sash, or gird, or also known as the belt. So the first thing, the first priestly garment that we see mentioned is the breastplate. The breastplate, it symbolizes for us two things. It symbolizes both the glory and the wisdom of God. So let's look at the glory first. In the Hebrew, glory is most commonly used in reference to the glory of God as it is represented as that Shekinah glory cloud. That's what we see when we think about the tabernacle that was talked about, that tabernacle that was in the wilderness. That's what we're talking about. It is that glory of God that we saw as the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. We also see the glory of God revealed in the New Testament, under the New Covenant with Jesus Christ. We see it when Jesus was transfigured on Mount Tabor, which, by the way, we just had our last day of people. Today's the last day. Today's the last day for going to Israel. One of the favorite places I have is standing on the precipice outside of Nazareth. I almost got it right. I always say Nazareth instead of Nazareth. I don't know why. So when you guys are going to Israel, when we're there in Nazareth, if you hear me say Nazareth, Nazareth, just hold up your hand and I'll know that I said it wrong. But that's one of my favorite places when you stand there. You guys remember standing there and looking across Mount Tabor and knowing that's where Jesus was transfigured. So that's the other time that we see the glory of God. That's where we see in the New Testament, Jesus revealed. So the breastplate, it represents the glory of God. Now, if you remember a few months ago, when we were talking about Mount of Olives, if you remember, we read in the book of Ezekiel. And in Ezekiel, it tells us that the glory of God departed from the temple in Jerusalem. But then we also saw that the Spirit of God then returned, and it returned to the temple of today, which is the born-again believer. This is the temple of God. You, as a royal priesthood, you and I, we are to shine forth His glory. We are to be that city on a hill whose light cannot be hid. Now, the other thing that the breastplate represents, it was the glory and the wisdom. So the breastplate also represents the wisdom of God. Within the priest's breastplate, there was a sacred pouch. And in the sacred pouch, the priest would keep the Urim and the Thummim. These were the lots that the priest would cast to determine the will and the direction of God. Now today, we have the Holy Spirit within us. So we have the Holy Spirit in that sacred pouch, if you will, in that sacred place in our spirit. So we no longer need the Urim and the Thummim, because we have the Holy Spirit to give us the wisdom, the direction, the guidance, the will of God in our lives. As a royal priesthood, see yourself, when you accepted the sacrificial work of Jesus on your part, you became a royal priesthood. You already have the breastplate. As a royal priesthood, you have the glory of Jesus Christ. You have the nature of Christ within you, and you have the Holy Spirit wisdom within you in all things and for. And I will tell you this, if you believe that and you will take advantage of that, there's not one day that goes by in your life that the Holy Spirit is not showing you. There's not a moment He's not showing you something. If I will train my ears to listen, I'll hear the Holy Spirit giving me wisdom and direction on a daily basis. It was just this last, like on Friday, I was praying about something. And as I was praying about it, the Holy Spirit took me back and showed me a verse, brought it back to my remembrance. And when I looked that verse up and I read it directly as it was, I saw two key words there that I could stand on and use and stand on to see what I was praying about. And I knew exactly, He gave me the words. He showed me the words to speak so I could speak what He spoke already this morning, so I could speak His word and stand on that and see it come to pass. That was Thursday or Friday. We already saw the answer to it yesterday. The Holy Spirit is in us, and He will show us those things. You are a royal priesthood. You've already donned the breastplate. The glory of Christ is in you, and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit is in you. So the next thing we see is the ephod. So the ephod is this, and I want you to see that this is woven very intricate. This is, out of all the pieces, this is the most intricate. This is the ephod. The breastplate was actually attached to the ephod itself. The ephod symbolizes the divinity of the Lord. Now, the ephod was comprised of two pieces. You can't really see it in this picture, but there's two pieces, two parts to the ephod. There's one piece that covered the front, and there's one piece that covered the back as well. So you, as a born-again believer, you who have accepted the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ on your behalf, you are already a partaker in the divine nature of Jesus Christ. When you think of the ephod, go back. This is the fifth week we've been talking about Paul's instructions on putting on the full armor of God. This is what Paul has been talking about. This is the nature of Christ. You have the nature of Christ already in you. It's His divine nature that is in this body of flesh. That is you. Look at how the ephod represents this. Now, we looked at these different garments, priestly garments, in Exodus 28, verse 4. Drop down two verses and look at verse number 6. Exodus 28, 6 says, "And they shall make the ephod of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread." You can see how intricate it is. "And fine notice this word, woven linen, artistically worked. The ephod was artistically woven together. The ephod had two parts to it, just as you and I. There are two parts woven together to create the new creation of you. Two parts to who we are. Jesus was God in this flesh. And now the Holy Spirit has artistically weaved the very divine nature of Christ into this carnal flesh of this body. You, as a royal priesthood, you have the divine nature of Christ in you. See, we've accepted Jesus Christ, so all of these things I'm talking about today, it's already in you. You already wear these things. This is already a part of who you are. Here's the next thing. The robe. The robe is the blue part. So it's this. It does go all the way up, but it's the robe. The robe, it's described as an outer garment, as a cloak. And here's a really good word. It's also described as a mantle. A mantle. So the robe symbolizes, it symbolizes the office. It symbolizes authority. We wear the authority of Jesus Christ as his believers, born again believers. We wear his authority. As one in Jesus, we operate in his power and the power and the authority of his office. You and I, we wear the mantle of his authority. Remember Elijah and Elijah? If you remember, Elijah received the mantle of Elijah when Elijah, the man of God, was taken up into heaven. If you remember the story, as Elijah's taken up into heaven in that chariot of fire, his mantle comes down and is picked up by Elijah. Elijah received that mantle as a sign that he had received the double portion of Elijah's spirit. Elijah receiving that double portion of power then went out and did double the amount of supernatural miracles. He did twice as many miracles. He performed twice as many miracles to the glory of God than did Elijah. You and I, we wear the mantle. You're a royal priesthood. We wear the mantle of Jesus, his office, his authority. We wear that. So when, as was already spoken this morning, when you speak the word of God, you speak the word in his authority and in his power. You speak it in his office. You speak it with his mantle. So everything then will submit to the word of God that you speak in the mantle of his authority and in his name. Everything will submit. And if you don't see it submitting right away, that's okay. Just say thank you, Jesus, because it's going to line up. That's what I prayed at the earlier part. This is something that Don and I prayed about this morning. Do not yield any ground to the enemy, not even a little bit. Don't yield anything. Anything that is in your life that is contrary to the promises in this word. If there's anything that doesn't line up with the word of God, don't yield. You have the mantle of Jesus Christ. As a royal priesthood, you wear the mantle of Jesus. Here's the next part. The turban. This is the turban. So the turban, it is the garment that's worn actually right against the skin, and that's important. Because the turban, it symbolizes holiness. Jesus is God. Jesus was God in this flesh. But even as Jesus was in this flesh, he remained holy. And now because of his work, you and I, we are the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Because the nature of Jesus, the righteousness of Jesus, is in you. This is the garment of his righteousness that we have sunk into. So many times in these last couple of weeks, we've seen the importance of what it means to put on. It means to actually sink into the garment. You have sunk into this. This is the garment of his righteousness that is in you. It's the turban. Now, when we see the word turban, and we read that in Exodus, I'm sorry, tunic, thank you. Have I been saying turban all this time? Did you know what I meant instead of what I said? Shall I go back and review everything? Okay, so everything I've been talking about so far, talking about the tunic. The tunic represents that the holiness, that righteousness. So the tunic, because it's the part that was next, it was the garment that was worn next to the skin, representing Jesus Christ in his holiness, who is in this flesh. So when we see the word tunic, did I get right that time? We see the word tunic. When you see the word tunic in Exodus chapter 28, 4, this is what's really cool. You can see that exact same Hebrew word for tunic that we see in Exodus 28. We see that exact same word in Isaiah chapter 22, verse number 21. And I want you to see this. I'm going to show this to you, and your version may say something different, but I want you to see it in the New American Standard Bible. And I will clothe him with your tunic. Picture this, because I want you to remember this as we get closer to the end of the message this morning. And I will clothe you, I will clothe him with your tunic and tie your sash securely around him. I will entrust him with your authority. And he will become a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. So it's cool to see, you can look at this, okay, well that's cool, we see the same word, the same Hebrew word for tunic, we see that it's in Exodus and we see it's there in Isaiah, but so what difference does that make? How does this verse impact us? How does that affect what we're talking about? How does that apply in context to everything that we're talking about? Well, one of the things I told you is, one of the great things about learning what Paul's trying to teach us in Ephesians chapter 6 about the full armor of God is, you have to understand it in context with the entire letter. When you read the entire letter, you can fully understand it. Same thing. So we're going to look at this, and I'm going to read this to you from the Amplified Bible. But I want you to see this verse in context, and you'll see how it applies to us. So we're going to read Isaiah chapter 22. I'm going to start in verse number 15, and we're going to read through verse 22. Isaiah 22, starting in verse number 15. Come. Go to the contemptible steward and treasurer, to Shebna, who is over the house, but who is presumptuous enough to be building himself a tomb among those of the mighty, a tomb worthy of a king. And say to him, what business have you here? And whom have you entombed here, that you have the right to hew out yourself a tomb here? He hews out a sepulcher for himself on the height. He carves out a dwelling for himself in the rock. Behold, the Lord will hurl you away violently, O you strong man. Yes, he will take tight hold of you, and he will surely cover you with shame. He will surely roll you up in a bundle, Shebna, and toss you like a ball into a large country. There you will die, and there will be your splendid chariots, you disgrace to your master's house. That's pretty strong words. And I will thrust you from your office, and from your station will you be pulled down. And in that day I will call my servant Eliakim, son of Hilkiah. And I will clothe him with your robe, and bind your girdle on him, and will commit your authority to his hand. He shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the house of Judah. And the key of the house of David I will lay upon his shoulder. He shall open and no one shall shut. He shall shut and no one shall open. This is speaking to us. This is speaking to us about something that we've been highlighting, we've been looking at all through this entire series, looking at putting on the full armor of God. Look, Shebna is a Levite. He's serving in the temple. And Shebna, in a monumental act of hubris, takes money and is building a great tomb for himself. Shebna is glorifying himself. And then in verse 17 of those verses, we saw that the Lord said he would be taken away violently. But here's what really struck me. Did you notice he said, oh, you strong man? What does that sound like to you? Because when I read that, this is what it sounded like to me. Yeah, it's what we've talked about the last 2 weeks. It's what we talked about when we saw that Jesus Christ publicly stripped Satan of his power and authority. Remember this. This is Luke chapter 11, verses 21 and 22. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all of his armor in which he trusted, and he divides his spoils. Shebna was about to be thrust out of his office. He was just about to have his authority, his mantle taken from him. But as you read those words, notice this. Even though his authority is going to be taken from him, but the tunic, the righteousness, the tunic represents the righteousness. The tunic was going to be used to clothe another. It was going to be used to clothe the man of God. This is representing you and I. The authority, the power, was taken from Shebna, and it was given to Eliakim, the man of God. This foreshadows what Jesus did when he stripped Satan of his power and authority. He took the dominion that Satan held over the world. He took it from Satan. Satan, who desired then and still desires today, just like Shebna, desires to glorify himself. But that was taken from Satan, and it was given to another, the man of God. It was given to the royal priesthood of you and I in the righteousness, the tunic, in the righteousness of Jesus. Can you see all that? Does that make sense? Did I use the word tunic when I should have used the word tunic? Good. By the way, that last verse I made sure in Isaiah 22, I read that last verse. That's one of my favorite verses. Isaiah 22, 22. That last verse where it says the key to the house of David in verse number 22, that is the keys that Jesus is talking about, that Jesus told his disciples he would give to them. He said that in Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse number 19. Speaking to the disciples, this is going to be true for you and I. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then we see that Jesus reclaimed those keys to the kingdom of God. He reclaimed them for us. And we see that in Revelation. In Revelation chapter 1, verse number 18. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. The authority has been stripped. The power has been stripped from Satan. And it's been given to you. You and I. You have the keys to the kingdom of God. So utilize them. What are your needs? What is it that's not lining up in your life with the Word of God? Jesus has done his part, and he gave you the keys. You have the power. You have the authority. You have the keys. Unlock all those promises. Unlock everything that he has for you. You have the keys. So operate in the royal authority that is yours. Operate in the royal authority of Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings. This is the royal authority that you have because you are a royal priesthood. Now that leads us in to that last part. If we can go back to the priest again. Well, the second to last part. So the next thing we see is at the very top. This is the turban. So the turban, it just simply is the headwear that the priest would wear. But the turban actually means this. The word is diadem. And the word actually means crown. This turban, you are royal priesthood. All of these garments, you already have donned. They're yours in Jesus Christ. The turban is the crown. You wear the crown. It represents the crown of Jesus Christ. Your crown, because you are part of the royal family in the name of Jesus Christ. You are a royal priesthood. This is the crown of the royal priesthood in Jesus. Amen? So this then brings us to the final part. The belt, the sash. I don't know if you can read it there, but it says gird. This is the belt, the sash, And it represents the service of the priests. The priests serve God in the temple. They serve God by offering sacrifices on behalf of the people. So as the priests were serving the people, they were actually serving God. As they served the people, they served God. This is what they were called to do. This is who they were as the priests. And remember that Jesus Christ, who we're supposed to imitate, Jesus Christ said he came into this world not to be served, but as a servant, to serve. And that's the example that we have. This is Matthew 28, verse number 20. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. The belt. It is the service that Jesus Christ gave. He came and he served us. He gave his life. The belt is the service. It is, in part, it reflects the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. So the belt, or the sash, it's our transition. Because remember, I said, you've got all the priests, you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you have all the priestly garments. So the belt really represents the transition that takes place. It's the transition from the priestly garments of the old covenant to the armor of God in the new covenant. If you remember what Dan read, the belt was, as we just read in Exodus, the belt was the last implement of the priestly garment. But as you heard Dan read, it was also the first implement that Paul instructs us to put on as we put on the whole armor of God. So the belt itself, the belt is common to both the priestly garments and the belt is common to the armor of God. And so the belt, which represents service, it highlights to us the importance that Jesus places on serving him. We, as his priest, as his royal priesthood, serving him. And again, Jesus is the example for us. Remember, on the Last Supper, remember that Jesus, it says he, we saw that this is the sash, the belt, it's also the gird. It's called the gird or the girdle. If you remember, Jesus, at that Last Supper, he girded the towel around his waist. And he used that to serve. He washed the disciples' feet. This is an act of cleansing, which is what he was bringing, cleansing from sin. This was an act of service. It was an act of service that was right before, remember, he's going from there into the Last Supper, into what we celebrate as communion. So it's the service of Jesus Christ, and it's that service that is a part of receiving that new covenant in his blood. This is who we are. We are a royal priesthood. We serve him. So if we remember the word belt and sash, it also means gird. Here's the way it reads in John. John chapter 13, verses 4 and 5, speaking about Jesus. Rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself. After that, he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet to serve them and to wipe them with the towel which he had girded. Jesus served, right? You can see Jesus setting the example. He served. Now, go back and remember what we read in Isaiah. With Eliakim. So we see here Jesus is serving. But remember, Jesus also put the belt, he put the belt of service on Eliakim in Isaiah chapter 22. We read that. Do you remember that? Shake your heads yes. If you don't, you can go back and you can read it. It's Isaiah 22. It's in those verses. Jesus served, and then he puts the belt of service on Eliakim. You and I, we are Eliakim. He put the belt of service on us. So here's that one verse again. This is Isaiah 22. And I will clothe him, the man of God, you and I, the royal priesthood, I will clothe him with your tunic. The tunic is the righteousness. And the sash, that's the service, securely around him. I will entrust him. He's entrusted you and I with this. I will entrust him with your authority. He's entrusted you with his authority, and he will become a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. We are to be servants. We lead people to Christ, and we'll see that in just a moment. We lead them to Christ in service as we serve Jesus Christ, as you serve others in Jesus Christ. This is what he's talking about in those verses. This is part of what he's talking about. This is who we are. I'm going to ask Jessica if she would come up and play as we get ready for communion. And you can just start playing. Think about this. The last element of the priestly garment, the belt, the last element of the priestly garment, which you've already donned, the last element, it was serving. And the first element of the armor of God that Paul's instructing us to put on is serving. We are a royal priesthood. You are the royal priesthood of Jesus Christ. As a royal priesthood, you've already donned all those garments we talked about. Those are all yours. You've donned them. Now we're going to look next time at what we need to put on in the armor of God. But as a royal priesthood, we're going to put on the full armor of God. And we advance the kingdom of God. We advance the kingdom of God by enforcing the enemy's defeat. And we do that in the authority of Jesus' name and by speaking his word in the authority of his name. But we do this not only to lay hold of our own victories. That's a part of it. Lay hold of the victories that Jesus has for you. But we do this not only to lay hold of our own victories. We also do it in service. As we serve others, bringing his deliverances and his victories into their lives. As you stand with them, as you speak the word of God over their lives and into their lives. This is the service, and that's why this is the perfect time as we're transitioning from the priestly garments into the armor of God, a perfect time for us to celebrate with communion. So as we take communion, think about what Jesus did. It's by his blood. Think about what we just read. Jesus served. Serving is such an important part that we overlook. It's such a vital part of communion. Jesus was serving. So as we partake, think about the service Jesus did for you. Think about the fact that his body was broken for you. His blood was shed for you. Rejoice in that. Receive that. And as you're doing that, think about what those things are that you know don't line up with the Word of God, but you're believing the Word of God. You receive those things. But then also, let the Holy Spirit, as you're waiting, either before you come up or if you come up early and you're sitting in the waiting, just think, let the Holy Spirit show you, speak to you, and show you how, the ways he wants you to serve today and every day. With serving by playing the piano, serving in the gift of prophecy, serving by being an encourager, serving by stopping and meeting people's needs in the life, the road of life that we have every day. You know, whatever it is, let the Holy Spirit show you. Let your heart be on serving. Amen? Amen. So on the night that Jesus served, he broke the bread and he gave thanks. Jesus, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your love for us. Thank you, Jesus, that you came, you became this flesh. Thank you that you are God in this flesh and you are holy. Thank you that because of what you've done, we have your nature. We, as we sit here today, we have your nature, your righteousness inside of us. Thank you, Jesus, for your love for us. Thank you for everything you've given us. We think about your body broken, and we think about your blood shed. You shed that blood so that we could have a right relationship once again with our Father, and that we could partake that bread. You are the bread of life, and you are the Word. We are partaking, and we're thinking about and remembering every promise you've given us. We're laying hold of those promises as we glorify you, but also show us today, tomorrow, this week, show us how you intend to use us to serve you. As we serve others, we serve you. We thank you and praise you in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Why don't you guys just come on up, serve yourselves, take the elements back to your seat. We'll all wait, and then we'll all partake together.